The Lord be with you. Good afternoon and welcome to our worship service today. If you're visiting with us today from far or from near, we want to extend to you a very special welcome. We pray that as God speaks to us today and as we speak to Him, that you are drawn closer to Him and also drawn closer to His people here gathered today. Yesterday, I was out in Bainville am See. So that's what the pastor does. He just relaxes all weekend. No, I was there for the Nexus retreat, for our young adult retreat. And I can report that it is a wonderful thing indeed to see so many young people gather together in one place to grow closer to God and to grow closer to each other. So I have to say it was very hard to resist their invitations to stay overnight at the youth hostel. The opportunity to once again share a shower with 30 people. once again, the opportunity to go to sleep in a bunk bed in a room full of people. Going to bed about 3 a.m., waking up at 7 a.m., all the joys of youth hostel living. Well, I had to sacrifice that to be with you all this morning, so. I know. I feel I should be an example to all of you, so. Anyway, great stuff, wonderful community there, wonderful time of worship together we had, wonderful time of teaching, wonderful time of fellowship. So what a blessing, and I thank God for that. So let's now join our hearts in prayer as we prepare for worship this morning. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, quiet our minds this morning and direct our thoughts. Lift our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 67 and can be found on pages 581 and 582 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Today's New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, and can be found on page 969 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
So just a few months ago, our youngest child, our daughter, went off to university in the U.S., and this made me reflect once again on what a crazy, crazy, crazy process the university admission process is in the U.S. A lot of crazy stuff in the U.S. Getting into university is certainly one of them. When your child, as many of you know, when your child's already in grade 10, sometimes not until grade 11, you start getting tons and tons of marketing flyers and marketing brochures at your house in the mail. And all these brochures and all these flyers are encouraging your child to apply to their university. Feels like every day for maybe a year two, we experienced this when we were back in the U.S. before we came here. Now, here's the thing about these brochures that you have to know. So most universities send out these brochures so that the student receiving them will apply to their university and then end up going to their university. But believe it or not, some universities, I won't name them, some universities send out these brochures in order to get students to apply to their university so that they can turn them down, reject their application, and thus improving the selectivity rating of the university. You see, in the US, the more students a university turns down, the more selective they appear to be, well, the more desirable they will then become. Well, that's the thinking. All right, well, in any case, enough about that. Having had now 3 kids go through this process, I feel I have noticed a change, actually. It's a small change, but it's a change nonetheless in these marketing brochures that the universities send out. So traditionally, universities, in order to attract students, have highlighted in their marketing materials different aspects of, say, the student experience or the assets and the advantages of the university itself. So for some universities, when they send out these brochures or these flyers, they feature very happy students on these flyers or on these brochures. For others, they emphasize highlight their geographic location. For still others, it's maybe a commitment to faith, if it's a faith-based institution. For others, it's maybe the campus architecture that they use to try to attract people to apply. For still others, especially those in Florida, Arizona, California, it's sunshine. It's really just sunshine that they're using to attract students to their university. So in any case, these schools have obviously thought about how they might most effectively represent themselves, and they've designed these marketing brochures accordingly. All right. With that said, though, I might say that now universities are taking a little bit different tact. I've just started noticing this with the last child. While certainly emphasizing all this stuff I've just mentioned, many of these universities have begun to highlight or emphasize something else. They've begun to highlight or emphasize the graduates that they produce. In other words, they began to emphasize the quality of the people who have come out of the school, and more importantly, the quality of their jobs or careers. So now, and this is really the big change, so now instead of featuring students in their marketing materials, these universities are now featuring graduates in their marketing materials. Graduates who are CEOs of companies. Graduates who are performing on Broadway. Graduates who hold dozens of patents. Graduates who are head of NGOs. Graduates who are famous sports figures. Graduates who are high-tech billionaires. Graduates who are feeding thousands of starving children. It's these successful graduates, universities have figured out, who can be very effective, if not the most effective, advertisements for themselves. The vocational apple, they would have you believe, doesn't fall far from the academic tree. All right, now let's think about Psalm 61, or 67. We're going to see in Psalm 67 a very similar idea at work. And it's this idea of whom you produce can often be the best advertisement for who you yourself are. Now, obviously, in Psalm 67, we're going to see the idea presented a very different way. But the idea is, I have to say, much the same. So let's take a look at Psalm 67 and see how this idea gets communicated. So the psalm, as you might note in your bulletin or in your Bible, the psalm starts out with a prayer. It's a prayer by one of God's people offered on behalf of all God's people. In this case, it was the Jewish people 1,000 years ago. The prayer is a Jewish prayer of blessing, a request for God to bless his people. And it's interesting the way the Jewish people at that time articulated or imagined God's blessing. The psalmist here in verse 1 prays for God to make his face shine upon them. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. So what's this shining face stuff all about? Well, I suspect many of us have heard something like this before, right? A request for God to make his face shine on his people. It's a blessing, after all, with which many worship services end. So what does it mean, then, for God to shine his face on his people? What's going on there? Well, I think helpful might be this. Let me just try to explain what this request for God's shining face is all about. So imagine you want to return something that you bought in a shop. Let's say it's H&M, Zara, Mango, wherever. You want to return something which is not in its original packing and for which you have no receipt. All right, you see the problem already. You bought it 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, you have no idea. So I ask you then this. When you walk up to that customer service desk, do you want to be greeted by someone whose face looks like they've just been sucking lemons, or by someone whose face who looks like they've now been reunited with a long-lost friend, right? Someone whose face puckers, or someone whose face shines at you when they see you? Someone whose face lights up at the mere glimpse of you. Well, that's pretty easy, right? You do not want to have to interact with a person who looks like they've been sucking on lemons, because you know they are probably not going to find a way to help you. The one whose face shines at you, though, whose face lights up when they see you, well, about this person, you have a feeling that they may very well find a way. As improbable as it is, they may very well find a way to help you and to bail you out of the situation you're in. Well, that's the kind of face, that's the kind of God the psalmist seeks. He wants a God whose face, in a figurative way, of course, whose face positively shines when his people talk to him. He wants a God whose face lights up when his people pray to him. And the reason he does so is because this is the kind of God who will find a way to help him. This is the kind of God who will bless him as he's requesting. All right, so let's think about Psalm 67 further. For what reason, then, do we suspect or suppose that the psalmist wants God to bless him in this prayer blessing? What's the psalmist getting at? What kind of blessing is he looking for here? Or why is he looking for it? Do you think it's so he can say, be blessed by God, sit back, relax, and enjoy the good life? Or that he can have a life free of worry, free of pain, free from suffering? Is the psalmist praying for blessings so that he can go on existential autopilot, just sitting back, enjoying the ride, not having to worry about anything? Well, hardly. As we look at verse 2 now, we see why the psalmist wants God to bless him. And in his own words, this is why. He says to God, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Well, that's something. The psalmist wants God to bless him and all his people so that the news would get out about how good and great God is. So that the news would get out that he's a God who saves. It's not then for his own gain that the psalmist prays for blessings, but it's for God's gain, actually, for the gain of his reputation. The psalmist feels that other people will think more of God if God blesses him and his people. They'll observe, for example, God's loving care for his people. They'll observe his provision for his people, his faithful provision for his people. And they'll deduce from that then that this is a fantastic God that the psalmist serves, that these people serve. A loving, caring God, a saving God. Now, I don't know what you think about such a perspective, but let's do a reality check here. Reality check for you, reality check for me. So how often does this type of thinking enter into our real life, in your real life, in my real life? So just to explain further, how many times do we as kids, for example, when we were kids or if we're a kid already, how many times do we make out our Christmas list considering which gifts would make our parents look generous and kind and wise for giving them? So when you were a kid, were you thinking, well, if God gives me these gifts, boy, my parents, people are going to think they're fantastic. Is there a single hand? No, right? Okay. Good. Well, not good, but you know. All right. So how many times at work? Let's think about at work. How many times at work do we hope for a bonus so that our employer will make the list of best companies to work for? I'm glad you're at least honest. That's to your credit, all right? Okay, one more. How many times at school, whether it's elementary school or secondary school, or university, whatever, how many times do we hope for a good grade on a test or a project so that others will think better of our professor, others will think better of our teacher? Well, I'm going to guess it doesn't happen much. But this is the perspective here of the psalmist in Psalm 67. He prays that God would bless him and all of his people so that God would come out looking good to all the nations who surround them. He hopes that the people of the nations around Israel at that time, that they would see God's generous and just treatment of his people. And that they too then would end up praising him. This is what the psalmist goes on to say at verses 3, 4, and 5. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Incredible, yeah? Incredible. Well, the psalmist ends the psalm by pretty much repeating what he had said before in the psalm when he opened it. He repeats this idea that God blessing his people will result in all people from all nations, all tribes, all languages, all parts of the world, acknowledging him as God too. This is what the psalmist says. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. So what a concept, yeah? Our praying to be blessed so that others may take note and embrace the one who blesses us. Praying to be blessed so that God will be praised by those around us. Not something I think we think about every day, not something we probably do every day. Well, as we finish our study now of Psalm 67, let's take a moment to reflect on how we pray, how we as individuals, how we even as a church pray. I wonder this. I wonder if we can imagine ourselves, like the psalmist, praying with the conscious thought, the thought right here, that we, through God's answers to our prayers, might be used as living, breathing advertisements for him, living, breathing billboards, if you will, for him. I think we're familiar with billboards, right? Billboards are big signs next to busy roads that proclaim a message to lots and lots and lots of people who pass by. They can be about many things. Another crazy aspect, actually, of the United States. Look at the billboards. But mostly billboards are used for advertising a service or a product. They're all about how good or how great something is. And this is then presented to the passing public. So as I said before, I wonder this. I wonder if we could indeed think of ourselves as billboards in a way. Think of ourselves as potential advertisements for our good and for our great God as we pray. Potential billboards for our God who saves through Jesus Christ. So how might this change our prayers, especially as we pray for blessings, as we're commanded to do? So, for example, think of our prayers for daily bread, for material blessings, right? So if we consider ourselves as billboards for God, perhaps our prayers for blessings would be more oriented toward getting in order to give than getting in order to spend or getting in order to save. If we consider ourselves billboards for God, maybe our prayers for more material blessings would be offered that more so that more good could be done through us because we now have these material blessings. This, in part at least, so the people around us would then notice and draw some conclusions, some very positive conclusions, not necessarily about us, but about our God. We might pray, too, that God would make us more generous, compassionate, and gracious with the gifts he gives us so that people would see what a generous, compassionate, and gracious God we serve. That's a different way of praying, right? At least for me, I have to say, on a daily basis. Now, being billboards for God changes not only the way we pray for material blessings, but also the way we pray for spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings, say, like faith, forgiveness, love and joy, peace and contentment. These requests, too, can be made to God with an eye toward acting as his billboards, his advertisements for himself. When we pray, then, for the Spirit's work in us to make us more humble, for example, or more compassionate, as God's billboards, we would do so to make God look good. We would do this so that people around us would see what God's Spirit has done in us, and they would say something like, hey, I want to know that God too, and I want to be like his people. I want to know this God too and be like his people who are kind and compassionate, caring and considerate. I want to know this God too and be like his people who are way into encouraging others as opposed to promoting themselves. I too want to know this God and be like his people who in the middle of disappointment and failure, who in the middle of suffering and tragedy, they still possess joy in their hearts. They still possess peace in their hearts. I too want to know this God, and I too want to be like his people who, when facing death, do so with hope and with expectation rather than with dread, with denial, or despair. I want to know this God too, a God who produces these kinds of people. One more thought about being billboards for God. Particularly in the realm of spiritual blessings, no? I think you'll agree with me that one of the most beautiful and compelling aspects of the Christian faith is the forgiveness of sins we receive through Jesus Christ, right? The forgiveness we have received that is quite improbable, highly implausible, totally unearned, and completely undeserved. And it is brought about, again, by the love of God through Jesus Christ. So how might we best be billboards for this forgiveness that we have received through Jesus Christ? What do we, as advertisements for God's mercy and grace, now do with this blessing of forgiveness? Well, actually, we don't have to wonder, do we? This is not a rhetorical question. This is a question for which there is a very good answer. We are told that as we have been forgiven, we forgive others, right? And this, I can tell you, is it should be an extremely effective advertisement for the God whom we serve, for the God who has forgiven us. If people around us would see that when we are wronged, we forgive rather than seek revenge. If they would see that when we are wronged, we forgive rather than lash out. if they would see that when we are wronged, we forgive rather than let anger and resentment and bitterness just, well up inside of us. If they would see that we forgive in situations in which forgiveness is quite improbable, highly implausible, totally unearned, and completely undeserved, then they perhaps would get a much clearer picture of who our God is and what he's all about, and hopefully want to know him too. I guess this is what it all comes down to. It comes down to praying like the psalmist prays for blessing. And this involves praying with the hope, with the expectation, with the anticipation that the blessings we receive from God would lead those around us to want to have a relationship with this God. It involves praying with the desire that what we receive from God would lead to those around us wanting to know him and his son, Jesus Christ. The goal is that through us, God's billboards, his advertisements, the goal is that those around us would get an attractive picture, a convincing picture, a compelling picture of who our God is and what he's all about. The goal is actually that through us, they would get a picture of a God they actually want to get to know. A God they actually want to have a relationship with. A God with whom they actually, too, might want to worship and praise and trust and obey and love and serve. So let me close with this. This idea of being billboards for God, this is actually something Jesus himself spoke about, right? He spoke about it in the Sermon on the Mount. It's what Peter read this morning. He doesn't use the exact same language, of course, to convey the idea as the psalmist does in Psalm 67. But what he's saying, I think, is very much in line with what we've been talking about this morning. Jesus says this, Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think it says it all. As billboards for God, we can be used by God to attract others to him. So I pray today that God would, through his Spirit, make us effective advertisements for himself. And that we would use his blessings in such a way that everyone would not only want to meet him, but love and serve him as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, make us good advertisements, good billboards for you and for your Son, Jesus Christ. May people through us see you and come to love and serve you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go from here today as billboards for God, advertising for his power and glory, advertising for his grace and mercy, advertising for his deliverance and salvation. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen.